Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, ladies. It's our last week.
Boo. Chris, really?
The lights.
All right. How's everyone doing? Good. All right. Last week of the session, did everyone enjoy it? It was a good one? Good. Perfect. All right. Well, let's take a moment to pray, and then we'll have Nate lead us in worship. And I hope you guys enjoy this last week. We'll have a little bit of a break, which I'm bummed about, but whatever. All right. Bow your heads, please. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you that you got us all here safely. Lord, just be with us as we study this last week and study your word. Thank you for bringing us all together for this amazing study. And thank you for guiding Natasha during these last 10 weeks and just all the group leaders. They've just done an amazing job of showing the word and helping get the word to our fellow sisters in Christ. Lord, be with us through the rest of this week. Keep us all safe. And pray that people just keep looking to you. And amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet, sing a few songs of worship together.
Here's to the one who made the morning bright. Here's to the one who taught the stars to shine. Here's to the one who graced the dead of night. Pulled me from the dark, set my heart alight. Here's to the one who made my heart to sing. Opened up my eyes, washed away my sin. Here's to the one who gave his life for mine. Broke all my chains and set me free, alright. To the way, whoa, to the truth, whoa, to the life I live and the light you give. Jesus, here's to your name over everything. Here's to all the things that your love has done. Here's to the way you wiped away my past. Here's to the future and the things to come. Here's to my Savior's everlasting love. To the way, whoa, to the truth, whoa, to the life I live and the light you give. Jesus, here's to your name over everything. Everything. Here's to your kindness. Here's to your goodness. Here's to your freedom. Here's to the day I see you, Jesus. Here's to your glory. Here's to your greatness. Here's to your kingdom. Here's to the name of Jesus. To the way, whoa, to the truth, whoa. You give, Jesus, here's to your name over everything. To the way, whoa, to the truth, whoa, to the life I live and the light you give. Jesus, here's to your name over everything. Jesus, here's to your name over everything. Jesus, here's to your name over everything. He who was before there was light walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry left his throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him. He who dined with sinners and saints, healed the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now he is in our midst. Behold him. He who chose a criminal's end, paid with blood to settle our debt. Bearing death as he rose to life. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him, Jesus, Alpha and Omega, our God, the risen Savior. Oh, be still and behold him. Holy, holy, holy is the God Almighty, worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Sing holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him, Jesus, Alpha and Omega, our God, the risen Savior. And behold him. And behold him. And behold him.
Our prayer, God, that you would be the one that our eyes are fixed upon, Lord, going forward, God, into whatever you have for us, Lord, that we would always keep our eyes upon you, Jesus. We give you our future, God. We give you these next few moments, even, Lord, and just that you would use them for your plans, your purposes, and for your glory, ultimately. And just have your way in this time now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Why don't you guys turn around and say hi to someone, give them a hug.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
What? I'm on.
Thank you. Good morning. I can't believe that 10 weeks has passed. I cannot believe. It has been so magnificent to see how the attendance has just held. It just makes me so happy every time when I get up here and I see all of your beautiful faces. But nothing like finishing up our study with talking about the devil. Even though Satan has already lost the war when Jesus conquered death on the cross, he continues to torment us and to tempt us and to cause suffering, likely just for the sheer joy of it, because we all know misery loves company, and the devil wants us to be miserable. Verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Be sober. So we've heard that a few times in 1 Peter. And a big part of being sober-minded is being humble. So let's go back, actually, to last week in verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." Because Satan knows when we're most vulnerable is when we think we can do things on our own. And Peter warns us against this because he knew this. He experienced this, right? He was at the Last Supper. Peter is on fire for the Lord. He says, "Oh, I want to go with you to heaven right now." And I picture him, you know, right now I'm going to do it, right? And God tells him, or Jesus tells him, that before the crow strikes three, that he will deny him three times. And he says, "Even though all may fall away from you, I will never fall away from you." I mean, Peter was pumped, right? He was pretty capable, or he felt very confident in his relationship with God. But I think it was Peter's pride, actually, that made him so vulnerable. And the devil saw that as a perfect opportunity to attack him. Pride is what was the demise of the devil himself. So he knows that this is a very powerful tool. And he knows how to play into our egos. I know that is when I have been struck the hardest, when I felt like I was just on fire for God. I was serving here. God was using me there. And then, bam, Satan goes, "Oh, yeah, you think that that's you doing that? Okay, you know, I'll jump on that opportunity." If any of you have read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, there's a section in there where, and this book is, if you've never read it, it's written very interestingly. It is letters written back and forth between two demons, and they are strategizing on how to torment their patient. And so he's discussing with them, should I let the patient know of my existence, or should we keep it quiet in the background? Should we remain in the shadows? And they discuss these pros and cons, and ultimately they conclude that they prefer to keep humans disbelieving that the devil exists, to disbelieve that there are demons that are playing with our thoughts and making suggestions to us, because this way we can continue to fight against flesh and blood. We can continue to blame our neighbor. We can continue to blame our husband for our suffering, when really, secondly, he doesn't want us thinking about spiritual things. He wants, if once we start thinking about spiritual warfare, we're going to think about God and who is keeping the devil in check. You know, if you've ever tried to share the gospel with someone who just thinks, no, I don't believe in heaven or hell, I don't believe in the devil or God, that's just right where Satan wants us. So that book, it takes a little getting used to. It's a very, very good book. I like to reread it every few years. And if you are looking for an opportunity, we're going to be gathering this summer to read it together and navigate through the language and how it applies into our life. And it helps us to be aware of these attacks that the devil has on us. So James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So submit is another word we've talked a lot about in the last five chapters, and it says to arrange ourselves under his command or to have an attitude of cooperation. Because when the devil is attacking us, all we have to do is run into our strong tower, to submit to God, to arrange ourselves under his covering. The devil will flee when we take refuge in God. And we're to arm ourselves with the full armor of God daily. And the first one is to gird our loins with truth. And that's what you all are doing here as we've studied 1 Peter. Because when you know the word of God, you will recognize the lies of the devil, because the devil is the father of lies. And he knows those little tiny tweaks, those little lies are what are most effective at luring you away. By the way, our kids know this too. It's something they learn. It's our flesh. They just try to, you know, it's not the dog ate my homework. It's I did my homework, but I left it on the table. No. But that's how Satan lured Eve, right? Did God really tell you not to eat this fruit? You did, and he does that to us. Did God really tell you not to do that? Does that really pertain to you in our modern culture in 2023? Or was that written to an ancient society? But when we study the word of God, we know that it's a living word and it applies to us then. It applies to us now, the same yesterday as it does today, because our God is the same yesterday and today. He is immutable. If you were here with us a few years ago, we studied how God does not change, but we change. And that's a good thing. Thankfully, we change, because I remember myself 20 years ago, and I'm so thankful not to be that person anymore. But when we know the truth, solidly know the truth of what God says, we will identify, we will be equipped to identify with those lies. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, because it's our faith that equips us in resisting him. Our faith in knowing that God is stronger than the devil. When he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So there is just nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. And what tempts me may not tempt you, but I guarantee you that if we all join together, there's going to be significant overlap. If any of you like to watch the Nature Channel, it's something that we watch a lot in our house because, frankly, there's not really anything good on. But you see the lion preying on the wildebeest, right? Those wildebeests, they're strength in their packs. They stick together. And then until there's not. And then there's one out there by themselves. And of course, the lion preys on the weak and the sick. But he really just looks for the lone wildebeest, the one that's sticking out by himself. Perhaps he's just very confident in his size. Maybe he's got some really big antlers that he thinks he can fight the devil, that he could go head to head with the devil. Or maybe he thinks he's just faster and that he can run faster than the devil. Or maybe he's a wildebeest and he's not even aware that the lion exists. So sticking together as women, this comes natural, really, for women. This is one of the strengths, I think, that we have, is that we like to stick together. We enjoy one another's company. And we can strengthen each other when our sister is feeling weak, when she maybe has a limpy leg. She can lean on her sister in Christ to pray for her. Sometimes we don't have the words, right? We sometimes are so burdened that we don't have the words to bring them to God, but our sister does, our friend does, and we can be strengthened in numbers. And the Lord says, right, when two or more are gathered, there shall I be also. A side note, this is kind of funny. I was looking up, what is a group of wildebeest called? Do you know what a group of wildebeest is called? A confusion. I laughed and laughed. I was like, maybe I should go with a different animal. But you know what? Wildebeest are like sheep. And, you know, they don't have a lot going on upstairs. But what the wildebeest lack is a shepherd. But we have a shepherd. So we're going to now conclude with our memory verse, which is the best way to end this study, this chapter. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Those verses, or that verse, summarizes the whole chapter. And I think Peter concludes with that because that is what Peter's life looked like. He knew more than anyone what failure looked like. He felt that humility. He was humbled, right? When God says that we should humble ourselves or he will humble us. Unfortunately, Peter was humbled. He suffered a while. He wept when he realized his failures. He was broken. But God restored him. And God can restore you because it's not about our failures. We all fail. Every single one of us fail every day. You know, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But God restored him and he covered him with his grace, his true grace, the grace that covers us in our ugliest of times. He established him. He established Peter in a position now where he can speak from experience. He knows the suffering. He knows the failure. And now he can speak with greater authority. God strengthened him. He is now reminded to be vigilant, to be sober every day, putting on that armor of God because he knows how vulnerable that he can be. And most importantly, he gave him peace. Verse 11, to God be the glory. Because it was all for God's glory that he restored Peter. And our lives are meant to be for God's glory, to glorify him in our failures and in our redemption is all for God's glory. So it's what we do with that, what we do with our past, what we do with our current suffering and struggles, that is what gives God that glory. To God be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. That is hope. That is our living hope. That is the title of our study, because it's because God lives forever and ever, and that we can take part in that eternity with him, that gives us hope. Amen. Amen. Lord, I just want to thank you for these women, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, this last 10 weeks, Father, to just be at your feet, to be at your mercy every day, to be reminded of how inadequate that I am, Lord, and that you can just fill us up. You come in, you smooth our cracks, Lord, and you equip us, you strengthen us, and you just fill us with peace. Lord, I just pray that during this break that we have, that we would just continue to just arm ourselves with truth, Lord. We would put on that breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, Lord, and the sword of your spirit. Lord, just equip us, protect us as we go out into this world. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. In Jesus' name, amen. So you girls have all just been the absolute best. You are the epitome of what a woman is supposed to be. You are encouraging. You are joyful. You are sympathetic. You are empathetic. I see you in your groups crying together, encouraging each other, praying over each other. It reminded me, and I forgive me if I've mentioned this before, but when my little girl was playing soccer, when my daughter was playing soccer at like second grade, you know, I had to, everything was pink. Everything was pink. Shin guards was pink. The ball was pink. The jersey was pink. I made all the little cute little bows that were pink. And my husband tells me soccer is not pink. And I, if you want her to play, soccer is pink. But the beautiful thing was they're on the field. They're supposed to be, you know, fighting each other or playing against each other, you know. And one girl falls and they pick her up. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you okay? You know, and then they're like, they come up to a header for the ball. Oh, no, please, you go first. And sadly, you know, by the time they get to high school, women's soccer is probably more brutal than men's soccer. And I think that is probably how women can be too. We can be actually very, very vicious. We could be jealous. We could be catty. We could be mean. But you all are 8-year-old soccer girls. And it blesses me to see that so much. We may have mentioned a few times in your small groups, maybe you've heard a buzz, but we are going to have a spring event. And it is going to be Bunko and Bananas. So if you've never played Bunko, it's a dice game. You're gonna meet everybody in the church because you don't stick together. You're going to move around. It's super easy. So if you've never played, don't worry. You'll learn it. You'll learn it really fast. And then the bananas is because we are going to have a banana-themed dessert. So, you know, everything will be, you know, banana. Or someone asked me, Can we have monkey bread? We can have monkey bread. That's close enough to bananas. So, you know, we loosely themed at bananas. But all that to say, we'll have dessert and coffee. That will be on April 28th. It's a Friday evening. And I encourage you to come, to bring a friend, maybe bring someone who can't come to our Thursday mornings or someone who hasn't been to church. It's just going to be just a fun-filled evening. And then secondly, I mentioned the Screwtape Letters. And if you've never read it, it's okay. You're going to love it. If you have read it, it's also okay because it's a book you just keep rereading. And if you've read it, you know the mother in the story. Okay, the mother just keeps becoming someone else every time I read it. That's who kind of the enemy is, or not the enemy because that means God in this book, but who his adversary on earth is for a time. And it's just a really fun read. I feel like it's very applicable. And every time you read it, you're going to get something new out of it. That's going to be, again, over the summer. It'll be Thursday mornings again. Just 5 weeks. There will be no lecture. It's super casual. If you need to go on vacation and relax or something like that, it's okay. You can miss and just hop in and pick up with the group at any time. So super casual, 5 weeks, starts June 29th. And your leaders will give you these dates again if you need. But that's it. Thank you, girls, for all of your encouragement. I really love you all.
Yeah. Slow your roll there, sister. Where's the mic?
Oh, I hit it.
You have it on?
Natasha, we just have a little gift for you. Hold on 1 second. This is from the group leaders. Thank you for heading this all up.
Thank you.
You're doing great things, and we're so ready and willing to do those great things with you. So, I love you.
Thank you.
There you go. I need to go shopping.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank all of your leaders who have just made this. What it is has made it so special, has just made those that group time so intimate and so bonding. And for Chris and for Nate and for Pastor Dave, who have just poured so much into building this ministry up. And God is moving, and that's just the most beautiful thing to be a part of. So, thank you.